Hey guys, this is Rick Godwin, pastor of Summit Church here in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we're excited to have you on our podcast. Our goal is to inspire you and to challenge you and help everyone realize their full potential in Christ. Now enjoy the message.
You're in the right place at the right time. If you're having a bad day, if things suck, if you've been hit with depressing news, if what you expected didn't work out, this is your day. I'm going to talk about embracing the suck. Embracing the suck, by definition, is to consciously accept or appreciate something that is extremely unpleasant but unavoidable for forward progress. So, what if? What if it doesn't go the way you want? What if it's harder than you expected? What if something bad happens along the way? What if I make this plan and there's another pandemic? What if I spend all this time trying to become the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for, but I don't actually find love? What if I pay off all my debt, work toward generosity, then I lose my job? What if? So the truth is, a lot of us struggle with thinking long term because we're so focused on trying to avoid any pain or struggle or hardships. What do we do if we're thinking long term, living long term, and bad things still happen? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. I hope I'm talking to the right crowd. In 2005, former Navy SEAL David Goggins, see his picture, attempted to enter the Badwater 135 Ultra Marathon. Badwater describes itself as the world's toughest foot race. It's a 135-mile course starting 279 feet below sea level in Death Valley, and it ends 8,360 feet above sea level at Mount Whitney. It also takes place in mid-July, where it usually reaches something like 130 degrees Fahrenheit outside. You gotta be nuts. Consequently, very few people are capable of even finishing this race. And when Goggins tried to enter this ultra marathon, he ran into two problems. The first is that Badwater is an event you have to qualify for by doing well at other races. The second problem is that Goggins wasn't actually an ultra marathon runner. Now, I'm not a runner. In fact, I think running is insane. And the only reason people should do it is to survive zombies. That would be it for me, okay? But I know that running a marathon is really hard, even for actual runners. They struggle to complete the 26.2 miles. Well, Goggins wanted to run 135 miles. So what Goggins did, he actually entered the San Diego one-day, 24-hour ultra marathon. And during that event, he ran 101 miles in 19 hours and 6 minutes. Goody for you. Despite never actually running a marathon before. So it wasn't just that he wasn't an ultra marathon runner. He wasn't even a marathon runner until now after San Diego. So after San Diego, he enters the Hurt 100. Don't you love these names? The Badwater, the Hurt 100, which is an ultra marathon race in Hawaii, which is widely regarded as one of the toughest in the world. He finished ninth, and only 23 other runners even completed the event. So with such a high finish rate, he actually got accepted into the Badwater 135 in 2006. He finished fifth overall. Then 3 months later, which if you're not a runner, that's a very short amount of time for recovery, he actually joined another ultra marathon, which was 320 miles. get me a doctor. Get me something. What is going on? And he finished second. In 2007, Goggins achieved his best finish ever at Badwater, placing third overall. Now, Goggins, maybe you've never heard of him, is a motivational speaker now, and he went on to write a book about all of his experiences, and it's called Can't Hurt Me. There's a picture. He's also been called the toughest man alive. And when you hear him speak about his experiences in life, about what he had to fight through to be who he is today, including growing up in poverty, having a learning disability, being in a minority family, failing to make the Navy SEALs twice before getting accepted on the third attempt, and the loss of friends in a military helicopter crash, there's one phrase he repeats to himself over and over again. Guess what? Embrace the suck. Embrace the suck is a military term used when conditions are less than desirable. Embracing the suck is when you're able to push through the mental, emotional, or physical barriers that stand in front of you so you can reach your destination. It's having the guts and the courage to not give up when things get hard. Chris McCormick was another ultramarathon runner, and he explains it like this. He says, when emotional fatigue creeps up on you and weighs you down, when your body is tired and the pain so horrible that it exposes any weakness in your character, when you know that you simply can't train hard enough to overcome the obstacle in front of you, that's when you have to embrace the suck. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's been a recent resurgence in binge-watching 90s TV shows. Disney Plus is incredible for this. But the thing is, we're watching and binge-watching these TV sitcoms, and one of the reasons why is that the 90s television sitcoms are comfort food for our minds. It's an escape. It's a way for us to disconnect, to see the good things. But here's what we all know. Life is not a 30-minute sitcom. It's not the episode of Home Improvement where Jonathan Taylor Thomas's character thinks that he has cancer only to find out it's hypothyroidism, right? See, life isn't a sitcom. And sure, there's drama for about 30 minutes, but everything always turns out good in the end. The pain doesn't last forever, the sadness leaves, and the jokes show up. But as much as we wish our life were a sitcom, it's not. Sometimes things don't get better. Sometimes the cancer doesn't go away. Sometimes the cancer goes away and comes back. Sometimes we don't get the dream job, or the relationship doesn't work out, or we don't get the family we want, or the house we want, or the car we want, or the life we want. It sucks. And as much as we want everything to be easy and smooth, and who doesn't, and we don't want pain, it never works out that way. And as weird as it might sound, that is a biblical principle. Sorry. If you were looking for easy today, you better go to another church. Jesus said in John 16, 33, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials, many sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And let me stop and say this. If you'll press through these hard times over a long period of time, pretty soon life can't throw anything at you that's going to cause you to fold up like an accordion. It will not. You've been through it. You've been through it, whether in marriage or with children or with health or with job or with money or with whatever may be going on around us, with every setback. And you keep pressing through, even though it was difficult, you felt like there was no hope, you just would not quit, you kept going through it. I can promise you this, it gets easier. It gets easier because you've already been this thing. You do hard things. My motto at work, do the hard thing first. Not last, first. The hard conversation, the hard call, whatever it may be, the hard meeting. Do the hard first. Then it gets easier. And when you do the hard stuff, you get tougher. You get harder to beat. the enemy's going to have a big problem with you. You're going to get a Clint Eastwood spirit. Go ahead, make my day. See, the enemy's weapon against you is fear. He said, I'm going to kill you. And my weapon against him as a believer is, I'm willing to die. Let's go toe-to-toe, mano-mano, come on. See, there's no fun when you're willing to die. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our life unto the death. Now, you're not going to hear this in a sweet little church with a little boutonniere and a little organ prelude. Sorry. That's not this tribe. That's not who we are. This is reality, life like it really is. This is not a religious tribe. This is a godly tribe, but not a religious tribe, right? Okay. This is a man tribe. Okay. And we're going to treat women nice and fair, but it's a man tribe. Okay. I'm telling you. All right. James chapter 1. James says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And that word is so important because it's not if, it's when troubles come your way. And James continues, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. And here's why I'm saying all this. As we live a life where we try to think long term, there will be trials. I don't care if you pray in tongues, and you tithe, and you give sacrificially, and you've never missed a church service, and you've never done a bad thing in your life, you're going to have trouble. I don't care whether you're saved or lost, rich or poor, you're going to have trouble. Jesus promised it. Hello. You don't get to pass go and collect $200. See, there will be troubles. God never promised anybody life would be easy. God never promises anybody that following him will make everything perfect. In fact, if a Christian person has ever told you that following Jesus will make all of your pain go away, they're lying. And the truth is, they're very delusional about what the Bible teaches. If you've ever heard at church, well, if you just had more faith, you wouldn't be dealing with that pain or that problem or that brokenness or that sorrow. That's wrong. Now, let me pause. Our rebellion, our sin, can make our life way harder than it ought to be. That's a fact. Choosing to walk out of alignment with God will create unnecessary hardship for us. But following God doesn't make all of our problems go away. Anybody married? Anybody got kids? Yeah, okay. See, God promises there will be trials. There will be troubles. So here's the bad news. There will be moments during this year that suck. There will be moments next year that suck. And the year after that, and the year after that. I'm so sorry. But the good news is you can get through it. See, we can embrace the suck. And here's how you do that. And it's not that difficult. Find your crew. Find your community. Find your people. Find your tribe. Your band of brothers or sisters. Now, this church represents a tribe. So it wouldn't be for hyper-religious people. But if you want truth smack in the face, hey, we're your tribe. And then you need a tribe personally around you, as a woman, as a man. See, as people, we were designed to be an authentic community with other people. We were not created to be alone. Even if you're an introvert, you crave relationships. Now, I recognize that I thrive best when I have a very few strong relationships. And I do. Because we need community. Now, whether or not you're a follower of Jesus, this is still true. Because the truth is, it's scientifically proved. Dr. Nicholas Christakis is a professor at Yale University in the Department of Ecology, Evolutionary Biology, Sociology, Medicine, Statistics, and Data Science, and Biomedical Engineering. In other words, he's a smart guy. And he wrote a book about this. And this is what he said in his book. He says, humans everywhere are pre-wired to make a particular kind of society, one full of love, friendship, cooperation, and learning. Humans crave to belong to a group. That's why you have gangs. There's a sense of belonging, right? See, they have found, scientists have found, that we genetically thrive when we are in a community and not in isolation. In other words, life is better together. And that's the truth. So that's why the pandemic was so hard across our country and world, because it isolated people. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we don't do well with change. But the truth is, the biggest thing that many people had to deal with was being alone. And by the way, it affected emotionally school children terribly in everything I've read. And that just confirms what God's been saying all along. In Genesis 2, at the very beginning of the Bible, God has just finished creating the world as we know it, land, sea, animals, planets, the heavens, the earth. And the last thing God does, he creates man. And then God realizes old Adam is alone. And Adam being alone is the first problem that ever occurred in the Bible. In Genesis 2, it says that before the fall of man, before sin even entered the world, before pain or sorrow or brokenness even existed, before anything bad had ever happened, God realized something wasn't good. And it was the fact Adam was by himself, because we weren't meant to do life alone. So every single one of us has to find our tribe, our band of brothers, our community. And when I say community, I mean real, authentic, not an acquaintance. I'm talking blood close to people. You only have a few of those, a band of brothers or sisters, all right? The Bible actually teaches us this is what it looks like through a group of verses in your Bible called the one another verses. Let me read a few of them just to prove it. Romans 12, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Or Ephesians 4, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. How about 1 Thessalonians? So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And there are so many more that say this, forgive one another. Do not lie to each other. Live in harmony with one another. Pray for each other. See, because when life gets hard, and it will, this is the type of community you need to sustain the suck. In order to think long-term, to embrace the suck, you need to find your tribe, your crew, your band of brothers, period. And I specifically want to challenge 3 groups of people here. See, every single one of you will fall into one of these 3, and a couple of you will fall into 2 of them. So here we go. The first one is guys and gals that are single. See, whether you are single by choice, or you're just single and you don't want to be, or you were married and now you're single, if you are single, I want you to lean in and listen to me right now. You are not being married is not a problem. You think it is. And God certainly cares about your burden. So if that burdens you, well, it matters to him. But God doesn't look at your ringless finger and say, not good. No, your grandmother will, but not God. God doesn't look at single guys and girls out there and think, there must be something wrong with you. You being single is not a bad thing. And I understand that might be weird in church to hear that, because the church has done a pretty crummy job over many years when it comes to letting people be single or stay single. You might have gone to a church where you were growing up and it made single people feel like you're outsiders. And that's wrong. And maybe you had a well-meaning Christian grandmother who's constantly saying, Gladys, why aren't you married yet? And you need to say back to her, Grandma, why haven't you broken your hip yet? Everybody your age is doing it. Yeah. Take that, Granny. But you need to know that God is fearless, and he's far less concerned about you getting married, but more concerned about whether or not you're alone and have a community around you. In 2020, I read an article, and this was the first line of it. A lonely Japanese billionaire is seeking a life partner who can accompany him on his upcoming trip to the moon. True story. The article was about Yasuka Mazawazu. I don't know. I butchered his name, probably. Mazawa, whatever it is. He's the eccentric head of a fashion empire, and he's worth about $2 billion. In the past, you might have heard of him because he actually paid his way to be one of the first people to go to the moon with SpaceX. So he's legitimately going to the moon. He's looking for someone to go with him. And if some of you single ladies are thinking about that, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. Don't go to the moon with somebody you don't know. But you read this article, and you get to the end of it, and this is what that billionaire wrote. He said, I've been able to acquire my share of money, social status, and fame along the way. But now I'm restarting my life. Feelings of loneliness and emptiness have slowly begun to surge upon me. Mazawa has everything our culture says will make you happy. In fact, he has more of it than probably any of us. But he's starting to understand that it doesn't matter what car he drives, how big his house is, or if he has enough money to fly to the moon. Those things are less fulfilling when you don't have someone to share them with. And so many of you who are single, you feel like that. You connect to that feeling. But the problem is you're looking to fill that emptiness and loneliness with a spouse. And what you really need is God and some authentic relationships with other people first. See, what you really need right now are friendships that can pick you up when you're struggling. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 4 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. So find that band, that tribe of people first. See, when you're grabbing something warm and breathing, that's a bad idea. I don't need warm and breathing if I've got lots of people around me, lots of close relationships where I can be vulnerable, and they're there for me and with me as you should be with them. I don't need that. I can delay that while I'm waiting for the right spouse to spend my life with. There's no hurry because I'm not alone. We got to quit thinking not being married means I'm alone. No, you're not if you get your ugly self into community and build a tribe and get into some small group, build some relationship where. And what you'll find is there will be less pressure. There will be more hope. And to be honest, if you find that relationship first, your standards will go up of what you expect from someone as a future spouse. And the truth is, some of you need your standards to go way up. So find your community, your crew, your tribe first. Men, we need community. And I know a lot of men think, not us, but you're wrong. Married men, including myself, our wives cannot be the only community we have. Female author Melanie Hamlet writes, the persistent idea that feelings are a female thing has left a generation of straight men stranded on an emotionally stunted island, unable to forge intimate relationships with other men, and it's women who are paying the price. See, the truth is, your wife is paying the price for that. Your girlfriend is paying the price for that. She continued by saying, women continue to bear the burden of men's emotional lives. And why wouldn't they? For generations, men have been taught to reject traits like gentleness and sensitivity, leaving them without the tools to deal with internalized anger and frustration. American men with their puffed up chest, their fist pumps, and awkward side hugs grew up believing they should not only behave like stoic robots in front of other men, but that women are the only people they are allowed to turn to for emotional support, if anybody at all. This form of emotional gold digging is not only detrimental to men, it's exhausting an entire generation of women. And ladies, you can say amen to that. I don't want my wife dumping on me every day. And she doesn't want me dumping on her every day. Now, if it's important things that include both of us, yeah. But day-to-day stuff, that's where my tribe, my band of brothers, where those close relationships, that's where they come in. That can come in. Look, if all you do is dump, I don't want to come home to you. And if all a husband does is dump, your wife doesn't much want to come you to come home. Do you realize the damage that can do? Nobody wants somebody leaning on them 24 hours a day. Nobody said amen. Nobody. Okay. See, many of you know that feeling right now. And men, the truth is, if your feelings are hurt by what I just said, at least go talk to another guy about it. So men, do you have any community? Do you have a crew around you on your worst day? Who can you make a phone call to or a text? You ought to have at least three or four guys that you could call right on the spot, and they would come right there if necessary. I don't know if you remember, but how many years ago, 6 years ago or something, I had rotator cuff surgery on a tendon in my arm, and I had a reaction to the medication. So here I am sitting at home in a chair with a blanket on me, shaking because of the neurological effect of two drugs that reacted to me, taking my appetite away. I was dropping weight like butter melting in the heat, and Cindy had to dry me off, and she says, "You are getting skinny." And I thought, well, that's good, but it wasn't good. I couldn't even take care of myself. I had no appetite, couldn't do anything. And I'm sitting in the chair, and apparently I had my phone off. I wasn't doing any texting or anything, or Twitter. And Casey Treat called Cindy and found out what bad shape I was in, jumped an airplane, flew into town with Slava, you know, my Russian friend from Seattle. They came in together, drove out to my house. It was my birthday. They had gone to the store, picked up a couple of gifts for me, came in, stayed with me about an hour, looking after me, praying over me. And then Casey said, "And I'm preaching this Sunday." And Casey preached. He would not receive his honorarium. He turned it away, tore up the check. He wouldn't let us pay for his airfare coming down here. That's one of a team of band of brothers who says, "You got a problem you can't fix. I'm there. I'll pay for it. I'm there." And by the way, years ago, he went through a horrible ordeal, and I remember I flew out and stayed in his home for 3 days in one of the worst days of he and Wendy's life. That's what a tribe will do. That's not just one person. That's several people who would do that for you. They'll pick up the slack. They'll pay the bill, whatever it takes to get you through that suck, and it did. So do you have other guys like that in your life that you can count on, that you can be real with, that you can say what you want and be vulnerable with it, and nobody's going to take it too seriously? Do you ever have that? Do you ever say, "I think I'm just going to moon somebody and quit"? You couldn't say that to you, but I just said it. But anyway, there are days you feel like that. Days you say, "I don't even want to be married." Days I don't even want to be a parent. Well, if you got somebody you can be vulnerable with, you can say that and they won't, "Oh, I thought you were a Christian." They just give you a hug and say, "Ah, it's going to be okay. We'll get through it. It's got a shelf life. Come on, we're going to do this together." That's how you embrace the suck. But you can't do it unless you got somebody with you to help you through it. See, Paul says from the Bible in Galatians 2, share each other's burdens and this way obey the law of Christ. So do you have that? Do you have somebody in your life that isn't your wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend you can share your burdens with? Find your crew. And women, do you have a community like that you can be part of? Do you have a community you can be part of that's focused on building each other up? Do you have a community of women that you can be part of where the goal isn't to pretend like your friends, where the goal isn't to gossip behind each other's backs about parenting techniques, fashion choices, eating habits? No, where the goal isn't to tear other people down so you can elevate yourself. Bren Brown writes, "That's the reason women have such a hard time finding community, because of shame." Now, for women, shame is a web of unattainable expectations that says, do it all, do it perfectly, and never let anybody see you struggle. You will come apart if that's what you think. Do you have women around you that don't expect you to be perfect, where you can actually be real about your struggle. Philippians 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. So is that the type of community you have? Well, it exists. I promise you that. But are you part of it? Or are you part of the toxic female culture that our society loves, like The View? Gag me. Now, if you do have these kind of community or types in your life, wonderful. If you have real, authentic, honest community, there's no doubt you see the benefit every single day in your life. And the truth is, you will be better at thinking long term because you know that when things get hard, you've got a few friends to lean on. But if you don't have that, what's stopping you from trying to find it? More importantly, what's stopping you from creating that? See, this is why at Summit we're always talking about finding your crew. You're better together. Get in your tribe. Find people you can connect with, the same spirit and heart. That won't be a crowd, but it'll be a few people. We understand that there are going to be moments in your life you don't want to keep going. You don't know if you could take another day. That's where the pain's too heavy, where the fear is crippling, where failures are just too much to overcome by yourself. And so do we do everything we can, we want to help you find a group of people that can help you keep pushing and not give up. And if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you're longing for, if that's what you feel like's been missing for the past couple of years of your life, hey, this is one of the places you can find that. Now, yeah, you have to embrace the suck, but you don't have to embrace it alone. And that's the key. I don't care how tough you are, sometimes you need help. And it's not weak to ask for help. When I went through that trial in my life, I remember I called a few people and said, come over and pray for me. Come over. I called Pastor John Hagee on the phone. He's a friend of mine. And I said, Brother John, this is what's happened. It is awful what I'm going through with his drug. And I said, would you pray for me? I respect his authority. I respect his anointing and longevity. And he prayed without hesitation on the phone. But I mean, I reached out. Now, I don't do that. I ain't calling you guys. Would y'all pray for me? That'd be like getting on American Airlines. The captain gets on and say, morning, everybody. Hope y'all pray for me. I just don't feel qualified to fly today. No. No, you got to believe that's got to be a lot of suck for me to do that. And I did. Sometimes the way you persevere is on the backs of people who love you and care about you. Sometimes the way you overcome is through your friends, kind of carrying the heavy burdens with you or lifting them off of you for a little season. Sometimes the way you triumph is you let other people pick you up when you fall. That's a good thing. See, but in order for that to happen, you got to find your crew, your tribe, your community. And listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I imagine many of you, it's a lot because you're here today, maybe searching for something, longing for something, looking for something. And I know what some of you are thinking. Why not just give up? Because it's so much easier to quit when things get hard. It's so much simpler to walk away when you and your spouse aren't connecting the way you used to. Or it's so much simpler to fall back to the addictions and continue to struggle than to try to fight for sobriety. It's so much simpler to go deeper into debt or to end that relationship instead of dealing with forgiveness and just give up and just give up. And sadly, that's what the majority of people do. And some of you are in that place right now. And that's why, you know, you woke up with that feeling, that weight bearing down on your soul right now. I want to finish by reading something Paul wrote. Paul is somebody who understood the suck. Paul has been beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned. People abandoned him. His church turned his back on him. On many occasions, he says he's been robbed. He's gone without food and shelter. He's lived a very hard life. So how was your day? You want to rub up to Paul and complain? Oh, my refrigerator's not working. My ice maker is leaking. Oh, Paul will slap you upside the head. Say, get a life. He had a hard life. And this is what he wrote in Romans chapter 5. He said, we can rejoice too when we run into problems in trials. For we know they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And Paul is saying, as trials develop endurance, endurance develops character, character strengthens our hope of salvation, our hope that's only in Jesus. And the truth is, when we have that hope, we will not be disappointed, because that hope is everything to a believer. It's the reminder of God's love for me. You see, we embrace the suck because it leads to growth. It leads to more hope. Ultimately, it leads us closer to Jesus. Like I heard some of my military guys saying, you never find an atheist in a foxhole. Now, that's why you don't quit. And listen, if your faith isn't in Jesus, if your hope isn't in Jesus, if you haven't made that decision to cross that line of faith, to put him first, this is one of the reasons why following him will lead you to a much better life. Because whether or not you believe in God, you are gonna have trials. But without God, where's your hope? Where is your strength when those trials hit you? What are you gonna lean on, see? So if that is you, if you're looking for hope in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your trial, know that Jesus loves you. You're not alone. His plans for you are good, and they're not evil. And that hope that Jesus gives you will never leave you disappointed. It will never leave me wanting anything. And if that is what you need in your life right now, start by putting your faith in Jesus. Not your 401k, not your retirement, not your job as a CEO or high-income professional, not in your great health or your great looks. All of that can end in a day. All of that. But put it in something eternal first and start trusting him. Start with finding hope from him and not from the things this world offers and the customs of this world. See, there will come a point when you experience pain. There will come a point when you want to give up. There will come a point when you don't know what else to do. By the way, don't leave church because you're in trouble. Don't run from God. You run to God. You come close to him when it irks me how many people, well, I haven't seen you in weeks. Well, we had trouble, and well, this happened. Well, that's all the more reason for you to get your ugly self in a community of faith and love and hope and prayer so you can go another day. I need it. You need it. You think I'm preaching to you? I'm preaching to me. The same word goes to you, goes to me. See, I need that encouragement too. So, you come to a point maybe where you just hit a wall. Embrace the suck. Find your crew. Don't lose sight of the hope that Jesus wants to fill your life with. Let's pray. Bow your head with me. You've been very, very kind this morning. God, if we're being honest this morning, I think a lot of people are here because they're in the middle of something. God, we're here because maybe we're struggling, because we don't know what else to do. Maybe we're here because we're lonely. God, we're here because we want hope. So God, I pray every single person here and those watching online, every single person listening will spend more time this week seeking you out so that they can find real hope, hope that lasts forever, hope that will never fade away. Hope that isn't in a house or a car or money or a title or going to the moon, whatever it is. God, ultimately, that we have people in our lives that can keep reminding us of what that hope looks like, that can pick us up when we fall, that can be real with us and us with them, so we can be vulnerable together. God, ultimately, people that can help us grow and grow closer to you. God, help us this week. Take that step or lean more into community than we have. Help. Give us that help that leads us closer to your hope, your joy, your peace, and your grace, the things we need the most.
Hey, thanks again for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend. Follow me by visiting the links in the description. I'm praying today that God richly blesses you this entire week.